Before we get to kind of Vietnam, because when we think about the Vietnam War, we think about Vietnam. And actually, France had occupied what was a colony called Indochina. And Indochina comprised of kind of what became Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. And what you have is this kind of how they occupy that area evolves. But essentially, it's a fairly traditional colony. But Cochin China in the south, which will always be important throughout the war, because that's where most of the rubber plantations are, is always where the most direct rule and where the French are kind of the strongest. You see a kind of varying level of occupation, but that's really always focused on resource-rich areas. And I guess, like most colonies, the kind of features of French colonialism in Indochina are the same as elsewhere, which is generally exploitation of workers and resources. And again, here, Cochin China is central to that story, where you have some of these big French industrial players, things like, you know, Michelin, the Michelin tire company that's still with us, is heavily embedded in these rubber plantations in the south. But you also have tea, coffee, and kind of other agricultural products. The other thing they do, which again is a common feature, is they very much play into kind of ethnic and religious divisions within the country. And what's really interesting in Indochina and in Vietnam in particular, it's an extremely ethnically diverse country. And that will be really important in terms of how the French occupy, and later in terms of how kind of different states emerge from that. And so in particular, Catholic communities are encouraged. Some people convert because that's a way to kind of gain access to the colonial powers. And finally, what you have is you have repression, right? So you have repression of any kind of nationalist sentiment that might come up. And so you have, you know, essentially a police state that hardens at different points. And so it hardens when you have surges of national sentiment. So I guess to your second question, I think the key moment where we see the emergence of nationalist movements, that's true in Vietnam, but it's true elsewhere, is around World War One, and in particular, the kind of peace settlements after World War One. And you start to then, there had been kind of nationalist surges, nationalist movements, newspapers, etc. But you have a more kind of coherent and organized nationalist movement that comes in the wake of World War One. So it comes about for obvious reasons, you know, one of which was the use of these colonial troops and the resources in the country, increased taxes, etc., to deal with the war effort. But more interesting, what you have is kind of in the wake of the end of World War One and the Paris peace settlement in particular, you have what historians like Erez Manella has called the kind of Wilsonian moment, right? Where suddenly the Americans in particular are pushing this idea of self-determination, right? That people around the world, and in particular in colonies, should be allowed to determine their future. And the Vietnamese, like others, latch onto that principle. And so you see the kind of creation also of transnational networks. So the Vietnamese are connecting with other nationalist movements, are being informed by their ideas. And so they try to kind of use this opportunity to shed French colonial rule. It doesn't work, right? But you do see a number of uprisings in Indochina that are kind of brutally repressed because of that economic and political repression and exploitation that had existed. And so they really kind of latch on to that. And so you see a kind of there, you know, in terms of the nature of French control becomes a lot stronger in the wake of that and a lot more kind of grounded in, you know, so for instance, you have what becomes in the American War known as the Hanoi Hilton, where the North Vietnamese take American POWs. This place is the Maison Centrale, and it's created in this period, and it's a prison for all of these political prisoners. Also in this period emerges Ho Chi Minh, which we'll talk about, I guess, in a minute, right? Who in those years, you know, is involved in the creation of the French Communist Party in the 1920s and starts to build connections with other communist groups before forming the Indochina Communist Party also towards the end of that decade. And so you see really a resurgence in that period of a Vietnamese nationalism, but a Vietnamese nationalism that's connected to other movements. And in many cases, is existing in France and in the United States and other countries, right? And so that becomes really important later, right? Especially in kind of the form, in who Ho Chi Minh turns to for advice, who informs his worldview. He's very much, you know, the Bolshevik Revolution happens in 1917. This is seen as a potential economic template, you know, in a country that is so exploited, right? And likewise, China becomes a natural partner, although there's historically real animosity, and China's seen as a historical enemy. In fact, they end up by going to war with each other again, right? But under Mao, and we'll talk about this in a minute, there's certainly connections that are made there, right? And there's a sense that certainly how you fight becomes really informed by Maoist doctrine,